Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Fan Experience Podcast. We are on episode 28. Thank you for coming back and joining us again for another great episode. We've got a great guest in store for you today. And, you know, we're going to, well, as always, I'm your host, Mike Kados, and my co-host, Rick Molina, is right beside me. Rick, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well, Mike. A lot going on tonight. We got a Thursday night football game between the Giants and the Eagles. We got a travel day, quote unquote, between the games 2 and 3 of the World Series. And we got a lot going on in the world of sports. So looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, I actually got some money on the game tonight.
There you go.
And then we also got a
sale of a team and politics involved, and now an owner doesn't want it. So we all got that drama. So why don't we start there, since you're the avid Met fan, you're the diehard here. Tell us about this. You know, the story comes out a couple days ago that due to the how Citi Field was built, that Mayor Bill de Blasio, the beloved mayor of New York City, for those of you who don't know, has the ability that if you wanted to stop the sale of the New York Mets from obviously the Wilpon family to Stevie Cohen. And so our friend Mike Kados here, being the avid Met fan that he is, Mike, tell our viewers your thoughts on the possibility that Mayor de Blasio might just ruin your life.
I mean, it's just another day in de Blasio land.
Yeah.
But now he's attacking my team. I mean, some of the things I could let go, but this is just by far the worst. But because the city. The city helped out on paying for the stadium. You know, he has a say in it if ever that the Mets was sold. And there's a clause saying that, you know, if anyone was convicted of a felony, he could vote that person out and ban that, you know, that owner from ever taking control of that team. And, you know, Steve Cohen was not convicted of a felony.
Correct.
But, you know, it's murky waters, you know, it's gray area right now. And you also have de Blasio and A-Rod, and, you know, they're
correct
good friends. And, you know, obviously, as we know, I mean, we've talked about it on the show plenty of times in the first, you know, few months of the show.
Yeah.
You know, that the whole J-Rod and A-Rod trying to buy it, and not saying, you know, is A-Rod behind it? I'm not saying that, but, you know, de Blasio, I hope this doesn't happen. I mean, look at this. You know, the New York sports teams aren't in the postseason, and they're just trying to gain some spotlight action here because you know, they're used to the Yankees being on the back page of the paper right now, you know, with World Series underway right now. And I don't know. I feel like it's just – the media doing what the media does best and just putting out, you know,
right,
you know, stories just to drum up the engagement and just to drum up this so we can talk about this. I'm going to stay cautiously optimistic and hope that, you know, Steve Cohen can, you know, get on with this sale and be the new Mets owner. So it's, I mean, all we can do is sit and wait.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I don't think de Blasio is going to put a step into this and all of a sudden scuttle the deal and all that's going on, especially with the way the city's dealing with, you know, the ravages of the COVID-19 pandemic and all that. But it makes for a good story, right? It makes for a good story that the Mets might not be sold because Bill de Blasio might have a say in it. And it's all this drama. But at the end of the day, look, he has the votes with the owners. De Blasio is not going to just step into this. And I think at the end of the day, the team is going to be sold to the New York Mets. But there's this other story that Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the White Sox, is one of the owners who's opposed to the Cohen deal. And one of the reasons he's opposed to the Cohen deal is the player salaries. I mean, he just feels that if Cohen comes in, buys the team, he's going to spend all this money. He's going to be just doling out contracts to players and their salaries are going to go up. So that's another thing that, you know, it's funny. Cohen just has obstacle after obstacle to buy this team. And I did think people are just afraid of him because he's going to make a difference for the Mets. And that's something you should be happy with, man, because I think this guy's going to come in and do some good things, spend some money, get some players, put a good product on the field. But the story breaking this week about de Blasio was just, I mean, you can't make it when it comes to the Mets. I mean, you just literally cannot make that up.
Yeah. Well, I also read that, you know, he's good friends with the Wilpons and, you know, he'll just say yes, just to, you know, just to appease the Wilpons and let them, you know, get on with it and not have to worry about it again. But they're not going to get more money. If Cohen gets voted out, they're going to end up with less money.
Exactly.
Let's be real. So of course the Wilpons are gonna want, the top dollar for, you know, their horrible team.
Hey, listen, it's a pro baseball team, man. Once you own one of those, you're good to go. I mean, you will never be
especially in the market it's in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. Exactly. I mean, absolutely. Well, also some other news in New York. Craig Carton maybe returning to WFAN. For those of you who do not know who Craig Carton is, he was a morning talk show host on Boomer and Carton with Boomer Esiason in the mornings. And a few years ago got arrested by the FBI for, for pretty much, you know, taking money for bets and using that money for his own. Oh, no, taking money for tickets.
Right.
A ticket reseller, and using that money to place bets to cover his losses. And, you know, it was upwards of millions, and the FBI arrested him. And there's an HBO documentary out now. I watched a little bit of it, and, it shows that, you know, he's remorseful for what he did, and, you know, he paid his debt to society. And, you know, I have no problem with him coming back. You know, I mean, I love him as a radio personality. As long as he's, you know, stays on the straight and narrow from here on out. And obviously they're going to have to keep gambling talks away from whatever shit he ends up going on, because you don't want him to relapse. But, you know, that's pretty much where we're at. How do you feel about Craig Carton coming back?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Craigie, I mean, he came in 2007 with Boomer. I mean, for those of you who watched that show, I mean, it was pure – part of it was art. Part of it was just talent. Yeah. I mean, it was great. Like, you couldn't take your eyes off it. I mean, the things they would do. But he did get into trouble, right? He basically tried to just, like, Ponzi scheme his way out of getting out of his gambling debts. Then, you know, got convicted, 3 years in jail, lost the show. But look, he paid his debt to society. And that doesn't mean that he can't go out in the real world now and do a job. And obviously they know the talent. And Chris Oliveri, who is the program director at WFAN, is hiring him. They're going to probably put him together with Evan Roberts over there.
Yes.
And I think for, you know, that time, 2 to 6, I mean, you need somebody like that. You need a person like that. And I think he's the perfect guy. I mean, you can't take away his talent. So I think it's okay. I think the thing that WFAN has to do is make sure they have no gambling spots on there. They can't have any of that stuff. And Craig's got to also, you know, not involve himself into these kind of things. But at the end of the day, the guy's a hell of a talent. I know it's going to rub some people the wrong way. Look, he broke the law, but at the end of the day, a talent like that, you can't keep off the air, and he's just going to, you know, he's going to do his thing. So I think it's going to be great for the rivalries between Michael Kay and you know, ESPN and WFAN, Craig Carton and Michael Kay. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good to hear. So I look forward to it, and it's good to have him back. I mean, he's just a character and a personality, but let's just hope he can stay on the up and up moving forward and get his life in order.
Yeah, absolutely. We should take a quick word from our sponsors.
Let's do that.
You want to kick this one off?
Absolutely, folks. This segment of the show is brought to you by Manscaped. So support for the fan experience is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, obviously we've been in quarantine for quite a while now. And, you know, a lot of people had that, you know, the hair on their head, you know, growing out of control. So what about the hair down there? You know, what about the hair near your balls and everything? So, you know, you can't use the same buzzer on your head that, you know, in a sensitive area like that. And, you know, the nicks and the cuts and, you know, honestly, you know, after getting the Manscaped, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, you don't have that discomfort, and they even gave you some awesome boxers too.
That's right.
Along with it and some anti-chafing deodorant. It's a pretty cool package, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 here in the U.S. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents.
Yeah, and when I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you could take a longer shave, and the waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligent design stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB.
Yeah, if you guys, you know, love this show and you're listening to this fan experience and promoting this show and supporting it, we want you to experience this firsthand for yourself. Let's get that bush to tush clean, guys. Get 20% off now with free shipping, the code FANEXPERIENCE at manscaped.com. Let's make your testies their besties.
Indeed, guys. And get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANEXPERIENCE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off of free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code FANEXPERIENCE. Your balls will thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Manscaped, for supporting the program.
Indeed.
All right. We'll run our play in the field commercial after our guest. We will bring out our next guest right now. Coming on and joining us is the host of the Big Fellas Basketball Podcast, Mr. John Hartofilis. John A.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Rick. What's going on? So happy to be here.
What's up, John? How you doing?
Thank you for coming on and joining us. We completely appreciate it for taking the time out. So Johnny, so let's talk. Let's how we start off, you know, most shows. How did it all start for you? You know, like your love for basketball. Was basketball your first love? You know, did you have another sport that you grew up watching or playing, or, you know, was it really basketball pretty much first and foremost?
Of course. So when I was really young, much younger, my parents really weren't big on sports. Everyone always makes fun. I'm 6'4". My dad's like 5'9". Sports never ran in our family. It's a Greek thing. It's a Greek genetic anomaly. But so I never really played that much as a kid. When I got to 11 or 12, I'm in middle school, about to get into high school, and everyone stopped me saying, "Do you play basketball? You should consider playing." So I tried. I wasn't really good. After about 3 years, I go to Xavier. I play on the Goya basketball team that any Greek Americans listening know a lot about. And I really wasn't.
I was in Goya.
I was in Goya. So yeah, I really wasn't even playing much at that level. Get to high school, think I'm good. Get cut from the freshman JV and varsity basketball teams at Xavier. End up making it as a senior because I would say when it all came together was probably around sophomore year when I got cut from JV. I realized, okay, like that, like making varsity at this point is. It's never been done before. It's almost close to impossible. If I want to do this, I got to go all in. So I kind of went all into basketball, whether it was obviously playing and training at it, but also then obviously watching the game. I started going to games. I'd never really gone before. So I'm finally going to games and experiencing it. My dad would take me to games. I was 16 when I went to my first game, which was a Knicks Rockets game. I had a lot of fun going there. And I mean, at that point, then I make it my senior year. I have some confidence. I start really taking it seriously. I mean, right before that. And from there on, I mean, after high school, I really started looking at it as a possible career. So I've been looking at it in all different ways. And this quarantine is a big part of that because it helped me start things like the podcast. We're going to touch on the sports business club. And then going into how Mike and I were just in the Michigan Sports Business Conference just a few hours ago. It's just every single way I can try to network, meet new people, and kind of just, I mean, it's funny how it started with me begrudgingly jumping into basketball at age 11 or 12. But now it's everything I think about. It's everything I do.
Yeah. Big shout out to the Michigan Sports Business Conference. It's,
oh my God.
It's been great. You know, the panels have been great, and, you know, obviously helping out, you know, college students and putting them on the right path to success and, you know, helping them learn a lot about the sports business. And, you know, kudos to you. You know, I mean, you started the podcast, you know, through the quarantine. You know, you see all these people, you know, starting things up, you know, with podcasts or, you know, other forms of business. But, you know, you could either sit idly by and just, you know, let life take its course and, you know, binge watch Netflix all day, or you can go out there and do something productive. And, you know, kudos to you. You went out there and you've been helping us out, you know, since we've met. So, you know, we first talk and I go and look up your podcast and it comes up on Google as IMDb is the first result. I'm like, dude, you got this thing on IMDb? And, you know, you told me how to go and submit one for myself. And, you know, needless to say, like, we got all 28 episodes on there, including this one, you know, listed under our episode list. And we were actually able to tag you as an actor in this one because you're listed on IMDb.
So. I have a profile. I'm an actor.
Yeah, Hollywood.
And a producer and a director and what a stage right, everything.
Yeah.
All the above.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot more credits than I do. I only went with director, writer, and producer. You went ham on that one. Yeah. But I'm good with just, you know, director, writer, producer and actor. You know, I'm good with that. I don't get paid enough to, you know, to really you know, clarify as all seven of them. But yeah, it's been awesome, and I love how you can search my name and I come up right above Michael Keaton. That's my little
like that. You're the next Batman.
No, I'm above Batman.
There you go.
Don't get it twisted. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about you know, who do you like in basketball? You know, what are you a fan of?
Oh, so I mean, obviously I'm from New York. I'm a Knicks fan, but it's also very difficult at the same time to be a fan of a team when you want them to win and they don't want to win as much as you want them to win. So that's obviously something you have to go around with. I have a Porzingis jersey right behind me. I got that when I was a junior in high school. I was eating lunch and I see a tweet come up on Twitter that he was doing a signing at Bloomingdale's on 59th Street. So I get a bunch of my buddies. I call my mom. She gives me a credit card number over the phone. And I bought a jersey because I couldn't go home. I bought a jersey at the NBA store at Times Square. We go to the event. He's selling mattresses for 7-footers. No one in the line is 7 feet tall, but he's promoting a 7-foot tall mattress. Yeah. And I went up. He signed that, a hat that's also back there. So that was a lot of fun. Because I kind of grew up on Porzingis being that when I started watching basketball is when he was drafted and kind of came onto the scene and you know, was playing really well. So that's my next thing. But then, of course, there's also Giannis who's also on this side of me. And Giannis has obviously been a huge inspiration to me. Right when I started playing as well, he came into the scene. He was always the Greek guy, but then he became the MVP and the two-time MVP and all the above. So, I mean, watching that happen, I remember – we're all talking about being a fan on this show. I was obviously a huge Giannis fan when he really wasn't that good. And everyone would make fun of me. Oh, yeah. Like, let's say junior year when he, this is the 2017 season, he's probably averaging like 24 and 10 maybe. Uh-huh. So he's knocking the door of top 10. No one would let me believe he was top 20. Everyone would always get on me and say that Giannis is nowhere near that. And now, like just the year following, he's winning the MVP of the league. So stuff like that. I mean, he's always been an inspiration just because of how hard he works. So, I mean, that's always been huge. And obviously I've met him a bunch of times, whether it's through when he's come through New York, at Greek national team games in Greece. And he's always super nice. And like in terms of as an athlete, just so accessible. So you just always love to see that. And I would say just, I'm a huge Giannis fan just because I feel like, I mean, whether it's his play style or he kind of just, if you would he's kind of like the perfect basketball player in terms of like for me to be a fan of. I can't imagine. He's Greek. He's tall. He can dunk everything, right?
Yeah.
He's everything you want to. I mean, he's everything I would ever want to be on the basketball court.
Yeah.
He really checks everything off. So as a fan of a player, it's got to be Giannis. As a team, begrudgingly, I have to go with the New York Knicks.
Johnny, come on. Now we're all Knicks fans here, so it's all good.
Yeah. But unfortunately.
You guys grew up watching the 90s Knicks, so that's a big difference. I've never had that.
Yeah, you've watched nothing but utility, and it's like watching the Jets. It's just an unmitigated disaster. It's pretty much what it is. It's that bad. But I want to get to your career. So you're a high school basketball. Sorry. I love it when he does that. That's great. All right, but let's get serious for a second. So you're a high school basketball coach at Xavier High School. Tell us about that. How did you get involved in that? How were you able to be able to coach a team there at Xavier High School?
Yeah. Honestly, I can't believe I jumped. I mean, I was kind of trying to go quickly. I didn't want to take too much time going through it, but I went from senior year right into the quarantine of the podcast. Obviously, in the middle of that, the whole thing, I mean, everything I loved doing it was being the assistant freshman coach at Xavier High School. So after graduating from high school, Coach McGrain, he's been there for 30 years, mm-hmm. one of the most well-respected coaches in New York City. I respect him so much. And even it was kind of during the season. I really didn't realize it. I remember it was like not our senior night, the game before our senior night. Even though I didn't really play that much, I'd always go by the coach's office and say, thank you, coach. I'll see you tomorrow morning because tomorrow would be Saturday. See you tomorrow at practice, right? I'd always do that every night. And one night he goes, hey, John, like, have you ever thought about coaching? I'm thinking to myself, okay, this can't be legit. And then he starts like kind of like not really pitching the idea, but like trying to see how I would react to it. And I just made the team. I'm just like super happy to wear this jersey. I'm not thinking that, you know, you guys think of me in that way to be able to be a coach. And then he was always kind of dropping. I worked the summer camp that year. He put a lot of responsibility on me to try to whether it was running drills on my own or really helping the camp run smoothly. So that was kind of my first real time just being a part of that. Actually, one of the funny story I could share was my first day working the camp. We had a speaker come in, and he comes in and goes, I parked my car in front of the school. Is that okay? And they go, no. You need a permit. If no one's there to move it, you're going to get a huge ticket. So he's worried, and they go, you know, it's all good. We have a John. John will go watch the car. So for like 2 hours, this guy is giving a presentation in the lobby, and I'm sitting outside, sitting on the stairs, watching his car. But it paid off because I was coaching the freshman team at 18 years. I always did everything they asked me. Whatever they said, John, we need you to do this. I would always try to get it done as quickly as possible to the best of my ability, just to show them. I mean, prove to them that I'm serious about this. Even though I'm young, I'm taking this seriously. So I end up he ends up asking me to officially coach at the start of my freshman year of college. I was going to Stevens Institute of Technology at the time. So I'm commuting. I was going to class and then going straight over from 4:30 for practice.
Yeah.
It was a challenge, of course, because there was only a 4-year age gap between me and the freshman. I was 18, they were 14. Yeah. But I see that as a strength because I was so relatable. And it's something that I have such a strong relationship with them now that I think would be very difficult. And it's going to get increasingly difficult for me to keep that relationship as the years go on. So now that I'm kind of really relishing in the fact that I'm able to, they really feel comfortable coming and talking to me about whatever it is, whether it's something on the court or something off the court, in the classroom, at home, whatever it is, I feel comfortable that a lot of them aren't afraid to pick up the phone and call me, which I don't think would happen in another situation. So that part, I feel absolutely blessed about it. I love being in that role. And it's something that I'm really praying that we have a season this year. It's something that really is up in the air, whether it gets pushed back or canceled completely. But that's really probably the biggest thing that I've lost this quarantine would be just looking forward to the first week of November every year and starting the tryouts.
Yeah, and as a coach, you're definitely a big influence on these kids and kind of guiding them, molding them. What would you say your coaching style is like? You know, if one of our viewers has a kid who goes to your school, for example, and say, what would they say if Coach Hartfuss, what kind of a coach is he?
Well, my freshman better be listening to this. I'm going to be very upset if I find out that none of them are because – I blasted it out. I was like, God, I hope they listen to my podcast. I'd be very upset if they listen to that too. They tell me that they do. They're like, oh, John, I heard that episode. That one was cool. Oh, but whatever. They'll throw out names. They were all freaking out about Bone Collector. It's funny because like all the more mature adults were they care more about the coaches or they care more about the executives. And they're freaking out about Bone Collector, who's an amazing streetball legend. But in terms of what I'm sorry, can you repeat that real quickly? I got caught off on a tangent.
How do you see your coaching style? Like, are you going to be like a sort of, are you like a laid back coach? Are you a guy attention? I mean, are you a guy who is very demanding to your players? Like, what kind of a coaching style are you going to have as you come up on your season here?
So I always try to become a little bit, I mean, my attention to detail, I feel like is always there. I always try to do my best Coach McGrain impersonation. So it's obviously very difficult because he's been doing it for so long. And he's so, I mean, the way, when I tell you like the speed and precision that he does it, it goes like, you should be doing this. And if you don't do this, this is what happens. And he gets it on a dime, a million miles an hour, but it's always the right answer. So I'm not there yet. Obviously I have a long ways to go to get there, but I always try to emulate that. I do have a slight, I mean, me becoming a head coach in the near future is going to be kind of difficult because I'm a little bit more quiet, especially during games. I'm very respectful to the refs. I'm not one to start screaming and yelling, going crazy. If I would ever get a tech, the refs would have some kind of, whether they're blind or something, they thought someone else was me because there's no way I could ever get a tech. And everyone makes fun of me. They're like, John, you know, you were too loud today. Because a lot of times I'm much better at, you know, pulling a guy over and saying, okay, this is what you have to do. I kind of thrive in that. I mean, especially now at my age in that assistant coaching role where the head coach is more vocal. and he's commanding things and he's setting that precedent. And then I'm kind of pulling guys to the side and saying, okay, he's maybe he took you out of the game because of this. And they're comfortable talking to me about it because, you know, he's screaming and yelling during the course of the game. And I'm the one pulling guys to the side, kind of keeping that control. But I always try to stay composed. I really almost never raise my voice. I always try to refrain from doing that. And it's something that I feel that's definitely my style of that. It's a fine line between being their best friend because you don't want to go that way. You really can't go too far that way. Or being really, it's a really tough line, and I struggle with it because you want to scare them off because you want that relationship, but you also don't want to be too close, and then players start taking advantage of you. So it's a fine line that I'm still figuring out. But I really having that balance is something I really try hard to. That's my coaching style, is to really try to perfect that balance. Yep.
You don't raise your voice. Are you Greek or what? Oh no, you can't raise your voice because you're out of, you know.
Yeah.
Greeks are always loud and, you know.
Yeah,
they're very vocal. They're very vocal.
I might react a lot, but I try not, like I try not to yell. Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it is I might, like if someone gets dunked on, not that happens at the freshman level. I mean, the varsity happens all the time. But if someone gets dunked on, I'm going to be the one to jump up and down like as if I'm 14 years old myself. That's obviously not that. But in terms of like really being like super aggressive and getting on someone, that's something I try to leave to the head coach. And I try to be more of the mediator between the two.
Got it.
Yeah. No, you're taking the right approach. You know, you're a better man than me.
You'd lose it. Yeah. You just fly off the handle.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would have it enough to lose it. So right now, obviously, you're assistant coach and you're running with the podcast. You're going to school. You know, what is your goal? You know, your end goal, you know, after school, and where do you want to end up and use all this knowledge? And, you know, is it something in basketball? You know, is it something in broadcasting? You know, where are you looking to be in about 5 years?
So the end goal is to be an NBA GM. And I know that sounds like something a lot of people would laugh at and say, you know, that's such a high goal. And how could this guy expect that? That's just something, I mean, that you have to shoot high, number one. And number two, I feel like if I take all the right steps to get there, why can't that be me, right? If I mean, at 20 years old, I would like to think that I'm trying my best to, at 21, be ahead of the pack. At 22, where am I going to be in a year, 2 years? But I mean, it's a day-by-day thing. So the podcast is one way. I mean, it's funny because a lot of people say, oh, you want to go into journalism and I do enjoy the podcast for the journalism part of it. And I do enjoy researching and all that stuff. And it's something I do enjoy. But I think the real reason why I love the podcast is because I love networking. And I really didn't realize I did until I started it. So it's funny, the story of me starting a podcast. And if my friend Jesse K is listening, he's going to laugh at this. He started his own podcast at 16. He's had guests on such as Mark Cuban, Jack Dorsey. And he always, freshman year of college, would tell me, you got to start a podcast. You have to start one. And I would always say, oh, I got it. Okay, let me, you know, I thought of this tight. I thought of this, but I would never start. I was always scared to start. And then we went to a Milwaukee Bucks versus Brooklyn Nets game. And all the players are coming out. The kids in the stands are going crazy over whether, and Chris Middleton came out at one point, but a lot of the smaller end guys. Mike Budenholzer comes out. No one says a word because no one knows who this 5'8 dude is, right? No one says anything. I obviously know exactly who he is. And I go to Jesse, I go, you know, me being a coach, it's my first year, obviously, like I'm brand new to this stuff. What if I went up to him and said, Coach Budenholzer, I love when you drew up this play and how it resulted in this. And let's say I tweaked it for him or something. Let's say that was my 15 second elevator pitch. Yeah. And I gave it to him and he offered me a job coaching. Like I'm just giving out this outlandish idea. And then he looked at me, Jesse, I always tell the story. He looks at me and goes, or you could ask him to come on your podcast. And I was like, wow. You know what? I was like, you know what? I'm like, that is so true. So but the thing is, I didn't even start it then. It took even more than that to get me to start. So I started a show called The Freak Show Podcast. It was going to be, I was going to go all Bucks. I thought it would be fun. It was, I mean, honestly, the idea at the start, really, I mean, looking back on it, I mean, at least I was trying to start one. And I recorded one episode doing an NBA playoffs preview. I did so much research on it. I had all these stats down. And I recorded the episode. I posted it. And I put it up. Okay, I didn't put it up on my story because I was embarrassed to put it up on my story. Which, okay. I mean, that's because I was saying, what, you know, is the name too funny? Is the logo kind of dumb? Are people going to make fun of me that I'm starting the show? And that was even stuff that I was concerned about with Big Fellas Basketball. Like, I mean, when you look at it from the perspective, I've had all these cool guests on. I mean, now it's at this point, everyone's saying, oh, wow, John, your podcast is so much fun. And I love listening to it. Or even the people that maybe still would make a joke realize that it's a real thing. But the first few episodes, of course, like I'd go to the park and play basketball, and I'd go up for a dunk, and guys were like, "Big Fellas Podcast." And like, I mean, at the time, right, I was like, you know what, just wait and see. Like in a few weeks, it's going to be a whole different story. But if you're a little younger, if you're really, I mean, that's Gary Vee says it all the time. The reason people don't post content on TikTok, right? Like he was always pushing that, or post 5 times a day on their Instagram story, or make a post all the time on their Instagrams, because they're afraid that other people are going to judge them for it. And once you get past that, I mean, that's where you really start to see growth. I mean, because I had 70 LinkedIn connections in June. They were all my closest friends. And I started doing the show. I started doing a player breakdown thing, because my whole idea was if someone from the NBA looks at what I do, I want them to see that I have some credibility in knowing basketball, whether it's that I'm passionate about it, that I can look up stats, because I can say that I'm passionate to all I want. This is how I'm going to show it to you, is that I made 100 episodes going in depth on this. So I started that for my first 5 episodes, and I got feedback from my friends. I have some good friends that told me, "John, your episode put me to sleep. Like, you know, your stats are great. You know your stuff, but it's kind of boring." So I thought, okay, I got to pivot somehow. And I thought, you know what, maybe I could do this whole interview thing, but how am I going to get guests? If I DM people, no one's going to respond. If I, how am I going to even get one person to say yes? Cold emails might work. So what I did was, is I figured, you know what, LinkedIn, honestly, if I start LinkedIn messaging people, no one really uses LinkedIn. The number of accounts on LinkedIn is, oh my God, how many times less than on Instagram, right? And then on LinkedIn, if they just, I mean, everyone's legit. There's really no spam. I mean, of course there are a few, but there's very few blank profile pictures on LinkedIn. There's very few zero posts, 50,000 follower pages that are bot accounts. That really doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that being the case, I thought to myself, okay, if I just send all these connections to all these famous people and I leave a note and I leave a good note, someone's going to respond at some point. My first guest was Coleman Ayers. It's funny enough, he's 21 years old from Miami. He's someone that I watched his YouTube videos when I was 17. He first started. He's only a year older than me. I always thought he was a grown man because his voice is so deep. And then he posted a video once, I remember, and he showed his face. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's a freshman at UMiami. That's crazy. But I got him on and I was like shocked. I'm like, oh my God, like to me, he was a celebrity. And to most people he isn't. But to me, it's like, this is some guy I watched his videos for 3 years. And I'm like, now I'm finally going to get to have him on my show. I had him on. And then it turned into Alan Stein said yes. Alan Stein was jumped on it right away. He's very accessible on social media. And then it kept on going and going and going to where just a couple of days ago, I had Tommy Shepard, the GM of the Wizards, send me an email at super late at night saying, how's tomorrow at 1 o'clock? And I was like, yeah. So I had to get my stuff ready for that and go for him at 1 o'clock. So honestly, it's something I can never regret. I mean, I love doing it. I always tell everyone, I mean, obviously maybe not a podcast isn't the thing for you, but something that you can pour your heart into and it's okay. This is my baby. Let's say this is my thing. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it to wherever I'm going to take it. I'm going to put my heart into it. And it's something that's going to show that I know what I'm talking about. Cause you could say, I could say I work hard all the time. Now I could show you, okay, I worked hard for all these months making the show. I worked hard to make the back. I have all these moments to point at. So that's kind of the message I could say is what I definitely learned from the experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and it's great that, you know, you have that foresight and you have to just, you're just going out there and you're trying to, you know, hit up anybody that you can. And you just, it doesn't hurt to ask. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, right? You know, and we've had, you know, amazing guests on the show, including a future NBA GM that said yes to our invite.
Yes.
So we appreciate that. We wanted to get you now before you were you were too Hollywood. I mean, you're on
Hollywood now. Hollywood. How do I turn my screen up? I'm blushing. Guys, stop.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, your friends want to give you give you smack about, you know, the podcast, be like, listen, are you on IMDb?
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stuff.
All right. I'm an actor, writer, blah, blah, you know, but yeah, it's, so, you know, talk to us about, you know, some of like the relationships that you form, you know, through sports and, you know, whether it's the, you know, your high school basketball team, in college or, you know, just through, did your dad end up, you know, catching on to the game a little bit, then no.
So he watches all the time. I mean, I got to give it to him. He's there. I remember the first game I ever watched him on TV was game 6 of the 2013 finals when Ray Allen hit the 3 to send it to game 7. And like, that was the first game we watched. Yeah, I'm never going to forget watching that on the couch with him. Cause that was like the first time, like, oh wow. Like I'm watching a game with my dad. Like we're enjoying this together. Cause that was also one of the first games I ever watched, probably period. That's like the start of me loving basketball. And then we ended up going to the Rockets game. He actually, when we went to a family vacation to Arizona, I really like James Harden from the Thunder. And I know the whole beard thing. He has my initials, JH. I always kind of liked him as a kid.
Yeah.
So we went to Arizona on a family trip, and I saw that he was doing a camp because he went to Arizona State. So I went to his camp, super good guy. I actually have a picture of him up on that wall, but it's hard to get down. But he's such a great guy. My dad, actually, I always make fun of him. I was playing in a 5-on-5 game. James Harden comes over and jumps into the game, right, for like 8 minutes. I always get at him for this part, actually, especially, is that he didn't record the first 4 minutes. He didn't, he just missed it. Like, he just, like, thought he hit it, but he didn't hit it. So I always get at him for that. But then also, the entire time, he's on the side talking to James Harden's mom, having the great, like, the most genuine, long conversation with James Harden's mom. And I honestly, to this day, I think she'd recognize him. They're probably best friends. She'd probably give my dad a huge hug. I remember he came to one of my high school games, and he was like, I always make fun of him about he was confused about the 3-point line in terms of, like, if you jump in front of it, but I always make fun of him saying, like, it was really like the 3-point line as an idea. Like, there's just some stuff that he really struggled to catch up on. But in terms of what you said about the relationships I built through sports, obviously one of my dad is huge, because it's something that we just never really had that when I was younger, just because we always did other things instead of sports, because that wasn't just something that we both did. But then outside of that, I mean, on every team I was on, I always feel like everyone on every team, I was very likable. Just like the way I played, I never really got into anyone's face. If there was ever, I played on some AAU teams where guys would be screaming and yelling at each other, and I would always be the one to, like, mediate that. And guys, like, understood that. So, I mean, I can't think of a teammate that I've ever had that I'm not on great terms with. So in terms of, like, those relationships with guys that are, I mean, I kind of treat them all like family. Cause I mean, I remember I went to a camp once, actually, this is a good quote. And they said the highest compliment you can ever get in the game of basketball, your parents can't give it to you, the media can't give it to you, your coach can't give it to you, the fans can't, and no one can give this to you but a teammate, in saying, it was fun playing with you. That's the highest compliment you can ever receive in any athletic competition, is I had fun playing with you. How many times how many guys are going to go out of their way to say that to somebody? Very few. If you get that, it's a high compliment for someone to say, dude, you know what? Playing with you was fun today. Like, that's, no, everyone can say you had a great game. Oh, you scored 30 points. You played great. But for guys to have fun being on the same court as you, that's something that I think is something that, in terms of relationships during the game, is something I take a lot of pride in. And then now as a coach, I think the biggest relationships I have is some of my players. One of my players, he since day one, I always felt like he really was always trying to be my friend. And I always, like, during the season, I had to kind of shut it down a little bit. I was always like, dude, you're such a good kid, but I can't, like, really show that in front of everybody the same. Like, I can't really go out of my way to have fun with you in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be laughing and joking. But after the season, I remember during the summer, he FaceTimes me, and he's not very close to dunking, right? But in his mind, I think he thought he was very close. So he puts the camera under the basket. He calls me. It's like 9:30 at night, super late. I don't even know who I'm with at that time. And he goes, John, look, I dunked. I dunked. Watch me do it again. And he puts the camera down and tries to go do it. He, like, smacks the net, isn't very close. And he comes down, he's like, did you see it? I was so close. So, like, stuff like that, having someone, like, after that, that was probably one of the greatest FaceTime calls I ever received. And it was like a 2-minute FaceTime. Just knowing that he did something and thought to himself right away, I got to call John. Right. Like, he really wanted to share that with me. And that to me meant the world. So stuff, knowing that I can impact someone like that in only 6 months of knowing them, this might've been right after the end of the season.
Incredible.
To me, it's like, what's going to happen? There's 3 more years until I graduate. There's another 40 years as alumni there's so much. I mean, it's crazy to think about it. It's something that I really put a lot of thought into, and I really love that.
That's incredible. You know, I wanted to get into these experiences you've had, because I've been to one NBA basketball game. I think the Knicks played the Hawks. It was like in the middle of 2005 or something. It was just awful. But you saw Harden drop 61 at the Garden.
Yeah.
So tell us about that, because I remember watching that on TV, but Jesus.
I was there with my dad. He had no idea that, I mean, because once he got to like 50, 51, 52 is when everyone started counting. Like, everyone in the arena is like, oh my God, he's going to get to 60. So at that point, it's like, oh, he has a lot of points. Like, I always make fun of him for that, because he had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
But we got there actually a little late, and it was like in the first 4 minutes, he had like 13 points, 14 points. And it was funny, because we don't have season tickets or like the package deals. We always get our tickets like one after the other for whether it's Giannis is coming or whatever it is. We always pick our games, like that one game for like a 3-month stretch. Like, that's the special game.
Yeah.
And in the weeks leading up to that game, Harden was, I think he was on a streak of averaging like 10 straight 30-point games, something absurd like that. So I go to my dad. I'm like, Dad, he's coming to MSG at the height of this hot streak. like he's trying to put on a show. Like he's gonna put up shots. It's gonna be memorable. Like we gotta go to this game. And I remember, counting the buckets at the end of the game. I mean, obviously, as a Knicks, you always want to say like the other team to like good game, but the Knicks end up winning, or like the other like if when Giannis plays, like Giannis has a 50-point triple double, but the Knicks win, like maybe that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Because the Bucks really don't need any more wins at that point when they're on pace to have 70 wins in a season.
Yeah.
So, the Knicks have the ball with like 5 seconds left. Harden is 59. I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's not going to get the 60. He steals the ball and dunks it. Everyone kind of erupts, which isn't really what you want to see a home team do, but it's what happened. And honestly, that was a great experience. I mean, there's so many times. I can think of every time going to a game is you can always find one moment that just really sticks out to you. And I mean, that was just a full game of like, oh my God, what's he going to do next? Is this step back going in? It was kind of like an every possession thing. So.
Nice. And here's one that we always, so we have a rule on the show that you have to be a fan of one team here. So you got Giannis and the Bucks. Yes, you have loyalty to Giannis, but you're a diehard Knicks fan. So if you had to choose.
Knicks.
Okay. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah. I have no loyalty to the city of Milwaukee, to anything like that. Yeah. None of that stuff. Pfizer Forum. I've never been there. There's no place in my heart.
Good.
The Milwaukee Bucks logo. Nothing. No. Giannis. Yes. But
all right.
I have no, if he leaves in free agency, I want him to make the best decision for himself. Yeah. And it's not like something I'm going to be like, oh my God, he left the Bucks out. Like, no, Giannis is Giannis. That's a completely separate thing from the Milwaukee Bucks. But of course I want his team to do well when he's on it, when they're playing in the playoffs. And obviously we all know how that goes, but
okay.
Yeah.
I will say that the Knicks logo is the only thing they have going for them.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a good logo.
And the Garden. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. So, being that, this podcast is produced by Playing the Field,
correct.
Just touching on a couple of things that you wrote, obviously you're single, correct? And,
yep.
Obviously Playing the Field is an app that's, helps you find, a sports fan to build a relationship with or to build friends with, so to tell us about, you say, wish I could find a chill hooper for a female.
I gotta make sure my Instagram is in the thing. Oh, it is. There it is. @j.hart21. That's open. The DMs are open. Anyone that's
No. You meet at playthefielddating.com.
There you go. That's right. Playthefielddating.com.
Facebook and Instagram don't need anymore.
That's exactly. True. But if they see me from the fan experience podcast, I think that also might help a little bit. But now Playing the Field, I went on the website and it looks really cool. It's a great idea. I love what you guys are doing. And I love it. It's a great idea. It's ingenious. And I think, I really hope all the best going forward. Cause I think in the next few months, when you guys unveil the new app and all that stuff, it's going to be a huge success. But in terms of how I would see myself using it, I could still see myself using it because obviously, like as I said, all my relationships are through sports. So, if that's something that could go into a romantic relationship, great. I'd love to have that to have that in common with somebody. And having someone that also understands sports is cool because I feel like I talk about it all the time. So if I'm talking to someone that doesn't know anything, kind of probably get a little annoying. But it's definitely something that would be a huge plus. So if someone's a sports fan and I'm telling them, oh, Giannis, and they know who Giannis is, huge plus. If I meet a girl and she knows who Giannis is, huge plus. Gigantic plus. If I meet a girl and she's listening to the Big Fellas Basketball podcast, gigantic plus. All those things. Being a sports fan.
That's a keeper right there, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
podcast. You keep that girl.
Oh, you have to. But, of course, yeah. I'm really looking forward to where you guys are going to take the platform. I think it's something that I could definitely – someone in my age demographic, someone that has the same likes and tastes that I do, could really find a great use of it.
I appreciate it. Like you mentioned the MSBC, it's honored to be able to, to help sponsor that conference. Talk to us a little bit about the big initiative. I know you won the big initiative award for MSBC. So, tell us a little bit about what it is and how you came across winning it.
Oh, no, it's a huge honor to win it. And the way I came across it was, I was doing a COVID-19 fundraiser with my friend, Jesse K, who I mentioned previously, co-funded it with a really good friend, Alex Scheinman. They started doing that. I was working with them. And Alex Scheinman is also the former founder and president of the Penn State Sports Business Conference. So I was talking to him and he was always talking about his connections. Like, oh, I met this guy through that. And he currently works. He's the college brand ambassador for 35 Ventures, which is Katie's company. And he's doing some really cool stuff. Alex Scheinman is absolutely killing it. So when I'm seeing all this cool stuff he's doing, I'm thinking to myself, okay, why can't I start the club in my school? So I end up starting the Bearcat Sports Business Club at Baruch. We became a real thing in August. By the time we actually had a logo and we, I sent out hundreds of cold emails to Baruch students, whether it was athletes that I found off the rosters or group chats I could find, whatever it was, I sent out messages. We had about 40 members right at the beginning, just people just trusting blindly and jumping in on it. And we had some meetings for, we had Bone Collector in our first one. That was a fun one. Brandon Steiner. And then just last night, actually, we had Darren Haynes, who was fantastic. I mean, I feel like with my podcast skills, I've kind of gotten pretty good at asking questions. I opened it up to some of the kids and they were really hesitant on asking some questions at the beginning. And I was going to wrap it up. And he was like, I want to stay for longer. And we ended up going way longer. And actually we brought up dating advice because Brandon Steiner had brought up in our previous meeting, the yes or yes theory about how you never want to ask a girl a yes or no. You never say, do you want to go out with me? You want to give her two options. And some of the girls in the call, I mean, this is somebody I mean, playing the field. They were skeptical of if that would work. So we asked Darren Haynes and he gave us some fantastic advice on that. But I mean, overall that sports business club really is a huge factor in terms of helping me win the big initiative, along with the podcast and everything else I've been doing. But the big initiative in and of itself is an award presented by the Michigan Sports Business Conference. They've been running for 10 years. The conference is huge now at this point. I mean, I've never been before. I heard about it all through Alex Scheinman. He told me, oh, dude, you should really apply to this. I think you have a good chance of winning. So I applied to it back in September, heard back about only like 2 weeks ago. So I was pumped. I got the email saying that you won, and I was jumping up and down because I knew that it's going to open up so many doors for me.
Of course, really, yeah.
Where that goes. I mean, honestly, I just got a text from Samantha, the representative that's organizing us, saying that we're going to be played during one of the commercials for the Big Ten tomorrow on Saturday. So I'm super excited to see how that looks. I mean, that like, there's really some cool stuff going on that Michigan's has lined up for us, and also the conference itself. There were 800 live viewers in the first video last week. Yesterday, I'm not sure how many were on today, but that's a lot. And all the Zoom calls would have like 250 people in them. And people are asking wonderful questions. Bill Simmons was on today. I loved that one. He gave a really good talk about Spotify. So Bill Simmons is someone, he really was a huge inspiration to me starting my show because, I mean, I've read the Book of Basketball. I mean, that really kind of, I mean, especially when I first started, I got into this whole basketball scene late. I had to learn I had to brush up on my history. I had no idea. So, I mean, obviously books were a huge part of that. YouTube was a huge part of that. And his content was a huge part of that too. So, being able to be on the same Zoom call as him was fantastic today. And then they still had, I'm trying to think yesterday, Ronnie 2K was on today. That was awesome. Really some fantastic guests. Baron Davis too. I can't believe I forgot about him. That was super cool. He was a super fun guy. But I mean, still, like when you think about the lineup that they have and how big that conference has become, it's an honor to be selected for that award out of 10 out of, I mean, dozens of, I mean, however, hundreds of applicants from all across the country that are into sports business, into the sports industry. So it's an absolute honor to win it, obviously. And I mean, I'm super excited to see where it's going to take me. And a great day of the conference tomorrow.
Oh yeah. It's been amazing. You know, the platform that they're using it's amazing.
Umbrella,
To converse with people in these 10-minute meet and greets, it's been amazing. And the panels and the Zooms. I didn't get a chance to catch that Spotify one. Are the Zooms going to go on somewhere? Because
hope so. I was going to ask about that. I mean, they're recording every single one. I would hope. Yeah. I mean, as a winner, I probably have a few numbers that I could text out and see. Is there a private YouTube link maybe? Because there's some gold in there. Oh my! I mean, the speakers are just really opening up and going and giving some really fantastic advice. And the questions that everyone's asking are so thought provoking. You're really getting some good answers from people that are really at the top of the sports industry. So I'm really hoping. I mean, the days 1, 2, and 3 tomorrow are going to they're already posted on YouTube and uploaded. I really hope they post everything else though.
That's incredible.
Oh, day 3 is on YouTube already?
Well, no. Well, when they record tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So, that's great. Yeah, I love the whole platform, and obviously it's the first time that they're doing this virtual, you know, and they're doing a great job, you know. So kudos to everyone that helped put this together. And as far as the Penn State one, you know, I talked to a couple of people at the Penn State Business Conference. I might be sponsoring them come next year as well. So we will see about that. You got a friend here, I assume.
Yeah, that's my little cousin.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Hey, George. Shout
out to George. What's up, thanks. George?
Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rick, you have any final?
No, final thoughts? I mean, man, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're doing a great job. I love the energy. Love the passion. You know, hopefully in the next couple of years, you start knocking down some of those doors up there and getting some front office opportunities. And seeing if you can get, what team would you love to be a general manager for? If you want to be a general manager for
the Knicks,
so it's the Knicks. 100%.
I mean, honestly, in terms of job security, that's probably not what I want to do. That's probably not the best decision for me to make. There's definitely better ones. Like the Spurs would be a much better option, probably.
Or they,
if I do that, I'm probably set for 20 years because the team's always going to be good.
Yeah.
And management, culture, everything's going to be in the right place. The Knicks one, I might be gone after a few weeks, but. In a perfect world, definitely at MSG with the New York Knicks, 100%.
Remember John Son? He came on.
Yeah, we had a guy who applied for the. Yeah.
He applied for it in the 80s, I believe it was. He applied for the New York Knicks GM. You know, he didn't get it. You know,
obviously, yeah.
But yeah, because if he did, well, no, I mean, right there, they were still in their
before you were there, but.
No, this was I think before the year they were before you. I think the year they were going to draft you.
86.
He would have drafted him. That's wild. That's a great job to jump into.
Yeah. So he unfortunately didn't get that. But you know what? We wish you plenty of luck. You know, getting there. We want to see you GM of the Knicks for sure.
And when you're GM, you got to come back on the show.
Oh yeah, of course. And thank you guys so much. And until then, I'll keep on swiping on playing the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell your friend Alex too. You know, Alex Scheinman. We would love to have him on. You know, I think
he'd be a great guest.
I mean, if he works with KD, you gonna get KD on yours? On your podcast?
That's a big ask. I think I got to do a lot of. I mean, the GM was a big jump. If you had told me a couple months ago that I'd have a GM on within 4 months, I would have told you that's crazy. Oh, it's my cousin. He's up in Northeastern.
There you go.
That's great to see that from him. I really, if I
freshman, we got a Greek audience. We got a whole new audience.
A whole Greek digit right now. Yeah.
All Fatty Stuff. Fatty Stuff, everybody.
What is that? What is that? Hello.
Thank you.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Good.
Yeah, but. I mean, really, it's just it's a constant process, and it's something that I'm as you can tell, I'm super passionate about. I'm gonna be working for it, and obviously, can't wait to talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah, well, we're definitely gonna keep in touch. You know,
100%.
I will be seeing a lot of each other tomorrow too.
Yeah, there you go.
At SBC,
every single one. There's a lot.
But yeah, I mean, thank you for. Got another one of my
former teammates.
There you go.
Yep.
He's not Greek though.
Oh no, he is.
Oh, he is.
Oh, okay. Man, it's a big contingency tonight, man.
What is it, Kaptanos or something? So thank you everyone for tuning in, and you know, thank you John for coming on. It was a pleasure, and you know, thank you for being an actor on our on our podcast to be listed on IMDb. Appreciate that. Appreciate all that advice as well.
Thank you, John.
You know, best of luck to you, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. All right, John.
Have a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Great, man. That's great energy, man. Great energy. And, so far here at the – we are at halftime at the Giant game right now.
10-7 Eagles. You know, I mean, it's still close, too close for comfort. I need at least two touchdowns by the Giants here.
Yeah.
I need like 24 from the Giants. I have the Giants money line in the over on this one.
Yeah. Well, listen, 10-7, and as usual, Daniel Jones somehow throws a pick. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I did start the Eagles defense in fantasy, so. I love to bet the over and then I start the Eagles defense in fantasy. I mean, I guess I'm hedging in a way here. So, you know, real quick, let's just play
week 7 games.
Well, let's play a quick word from our
sponsor, Jess,
of the podcast. Playing the Field, as we discussed earlier. Here you go.
Do you want to meet other sports enthusiasts like yourself? Playing the Field can help you connect with people who love sports as much as you do, for friendship or romance. You can showcase up to 5 of your favorite teams on your profile trading card to make it easier to find fellow sports fans. Now you can talk about sports, go to the games, or play sports with others who share your interests. Find out more at playthefieldnow.com.
All righty. Thank you, everybody. Let's play Playing the Field. You could find out more at playthefieldnow.com, and you could sign up and join the community at playthefielddating.com right now. The beta is live and available for you. So NFL week 7, everybody.
Could you believe that we're already at week 7 in the National Football League? Incredible.
Yeah, it did go pretty quick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It did go pretty quick.
Yeah, we thought we went from we might not have a season.
Yeah.
To we're going to have a season. We had another there was another COVID outbreak today too.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Raiders placed 5 more on a COVID list. So you know, right now it's you know, Raiders are touch and go right now, but I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, that's well, they moved the game to 4:00.
That's correct.
What was it? The Seahawks and the Cardinals got flexed to 8.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, what game you pick the first game? What do you want?
All right. Hold on.
What are you looking?
I'm looking at 1 second here. Let me see here. All right. Game one. And this is going to be a good one. Pittsburgh at Tennessee. That is going to be a doozy of a game. Hold on 1 second. Let me see what the spreads are here. Let me
just 1.5. I got
1.5.
Tennessee is favorite at home.
Tennessee's favorite at home, 1.5. Pittsburgh's 5-0. I'm going to go first.
And they lost Taylor Lewan. The Titans lost Taylor Lewan too. You know, obviously he's a premier offensive lineman for them for a while now. So
yeah, tore an ACL, right?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, listen, you know me, man. I love me some Mike Tomlin. I think he's the most underrated coach out there. They're going into Tennessee. Tennessee's just been, you know, Derrick Henry just throwing people across the field. Tannehill just dropping touchdowns all over the place. But at the end of the day, I got to go with my man Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers to win a game on the road here. So I'm taking Pittsburgh to win outright.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. I mean, the Steelers are flying high right now. I know the Titans are getting their players back, and you know everyone's getting back healthy, but the Steelers are out for blood for making them have to change this game to week 7.
Yeah, exactly. But look, like,
Chase, you know what? Nah. Oh yeah, and Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
My goodness. Like they just. Wide receiver gurus over there. It's
incredible, it's right?
Amazing how they could just they find these wide receivers and they just oh my goodness. Speaking of Pittsburgh wide receivers.
Here we go.
Mr. Antonio Brown is expected to be signed by the Seahawks after his week 8 suspension. You know, his suspension is over post week 8, you know, Russell Wilson with another weapon, you know, in his MVP, you know, start to the season. I mean, I think it's nothing but good things, but you know what? Antonio Brown, the news around Antonio Brown, you know, we have not heard a peep in what? You know, 12 months, almost 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, he's been quiet for a while.
You know, he's not freezing his foot off. He's not, he's not complaining. Well, I mean, he can't complain about a helmet because
he doesn't
have a team.
He doesn't have a helmet. Yeah.
But let's see. Let's see if he joins a team, if he's going to have something to complain about, but no, he's been quiet.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously he's a tremendous talent. I mean, nobody can take that away from him. And then having a premier quarterback like Russell Wilson, throwing it to him and him not having to carry the team, you know. I mean, they have Lockett, they got
Lockett and DK Metcalf,
Chris Carson, Greg Olsen, like they got weapons over there. Yeah. And you know, Antonio Brown is just another piece in that repertoire for Russell Wilson. It could be very dangerous. You know, their defense isn't great there, but that offense could take a step up there. And I still think that they're one of the favorites to, you know, to win the NFC.
Yeah, if he's going to sign in any team, that's the team he's got to sign for. There's stability there with Pete Carroll as a head coach. He's not going to be able to go into that locker room and cause a fuss, because the moment they do, they're just going to release him, right? You got Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf is a star over there, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson's over there. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I think that's the perfect situation for him. Now, the question is, if he doesn't get the ball, right, comes back, plays a game, made one or two catches. Another game, one or two catches. Is that going to start building? Because you know Antonio Brown has an ego, and he wants the ball. And the question is going to be, if they're not throwing him the ball, if they give him, well, listen, we're doing it for the team, is he going to be okay with that? So we got to wait and see. But for a guy like that, a team like Seattle is the right place to land. A team like the Chiefs is the right place to land. A team like Tampa would be the right place to land, just because of the fact of just his personality and the way he is. So if they do pick him up, it's a good signing, and it makes the Seahawks the favorite to win the NFC, even though the Bucs look good. It makes them win the favorites in the NFC.
Man, could you imagine having Antonio Brown facing Le'Veon Bell in the Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Seahawks, yeah. Chiefs.
I mean,
oh, man.
Yeah, to think about it, 3 years ago, those guys were the best in their positions. It's crazy, but it's, it's what it is. All right, it's game two. Let's see. What do you got?
So, yes. Let's talk about the Chiefs and your sleeper team of the Broncos that no longer are. Yeah. 9.5. The Broncos did not look bad last week. Obviously, they beat the Patriots. I don't know if it's more on the Patriots or if it's more on the Broncos, but the Chiefs, I still think they're not firing on all cylinders. Now, given Le'Veon Bell, I believe, is joining the team this week.
Yeah, he's joining the team. He's starting to practice.
I don't think the Chiefs are firing on all cylinders. And 9.5 points is a lot to give in Denver, Mile High. I'm not sure what's going on with Melvin Gordon, if he's going to be playing this week for the Broncos. But I like the Broncos to cover the 9.5 points that they're getting.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. The Chiefs are just, I don't know. They haven't been impressing me this year,
but they've been winning.
They lost to the Raiders.
It's in Denver, 9.5 points. They did lose to the Raiders. It's a 4:25 game. I expect Patrick Mahomes and them to play well. But I don't see them. I see them winning this game by a couple of touchdowns. I just don't see how Denver, and there was my sleeper team going into the beginning of the year. You know, I was all over them. I don't see how they stop them. I'm going with the Chiefs to cover.
All right. You're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah. Game three. That's what we're here for. Exactly. Game three. And it's going to be a doozy. Boy, these 4 o'clock games, we got a couple of good 4 o'clock games here.
Tell me you're picking my favorite team over here.
I wasn't going there, but because I'll let you have that one. But I'm going here with the Bucks at the Raiders.
Bucks
are getting -4 on the road at the Raiders. Go ahead. I'll let you start off this one.
Yeah, I'm taking the Raiders +4.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a city easy choice for me. I like the way the Raiders are playing, and they're also coming off a bye. I like the Raiders. I like what they have going on over there. Obviously they play great against. Come on, they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, and pray Brady. It wasn't even Brady that was beating Rodgers last week. It was Rodgers beating himself.
Right,
and he was never the same after the two interceptions.
Yeah,
I like the Raiders, especially to cover with the 4 points. But okay. I think the Raiders win this game.
All right. Well, I'm going to disagree with you. I think Tampa's going to win the game. But I think they win by a field goal. I think you're right. The Raiders are going to keep this one close. I don't see them covering the 4. So I'll take the Raiders +4 for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I stand by that. I stand by the Raiders are winning this game.
Okay.
All right.
Since we got the local playing tonight, we'll leave our beloved Jets for last, and we'll
I'm gonna take my
yeah, go ahead.
Los Angeles Chargers at beautiful SoFi Stadium.
There you go.
With a matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Chargers, an 0-3 Justin Herbert, is getting set, they're giving 7.5 points to the Jaguars, which is, I think, a lot. That's a lot to give. I think the Chargers win the game, but I don't think they could cover 7.5.
I'm with you. I think the Chargers are going to win. Look, these are teams that aren't great. Anthony Lynn always finds, you know, there's always a coaching issue sort of towards the game. Sometimes he has these hiccups in these moments. I mean, as much as I like the Chargers, look, Justin Herbert's going to be throwing rockets all over the field. I think that's going to happen, but I'm you're right. I think I'll, you know, Jacksonville plus 7.5 on this one.
Yep.
And then the final game of the week, and I hate to do this to our loyal listeners, but we have to do this.
Yes.
And it's our beloved New York Jets at home against Buffalo. The Jets are 12.5 point underdogs. Sam Darnold looks like he might be coming back. Mekhi Becton might be coming back. Denzel Mims might start. And with all that being said, Mike, go ahead and play those highlights real quick of what's going to happen.
They're on.
And they're on. There they are
right there. And they're up. And so they're going to have negative 12.5 highlights this week.
Yeah. And look, Adam Gase's team, these teams have been losing by more than by 20 points. I don't know. What is it? It's been the last, five, six games? It's going to be the same thing again. They're going to get down by a touchdown. Gase is going to throw bubble screens, not know what he's doing. The team's not going to have any life. It's going to, you know, I don't care who's out there, man.
Let's be real.
Yeah, Bills minus 12.5.
Let's be real. Yeah. The Bills lost the last two games. If they won at least one of those two games, they would be favored by 20 in this game.
Yep.
But because of those little hiccups and bumps in the road for Josh Allen and, you know, and the Bills offense just looking, you know, with the exception of Stephon Diggs, just looking like putrid. Stephon Diggs is a heck of a pickup for them.
Dude, unreal.
I mean, you know, the toe tap touchdown last week. It's just
he's incredible. That guy.
Yeah, he's a human highlight reel. Unlike
you're having too much fun with this. Every time you put that up, because there's nothing to watch. There's not one. The only highlight we have as Jets fans is Marcus Faye's interception off his ass.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that is it. Oh God, we got to do. I'm gonna work. We're gonna get some Jets guys on who are like devoted Jets fans, so we can hear the rantings of Jets fans on the show for an hour and a half and talk about the Jets. But no,
the Bills with they're covering 12.5. That's not even a question. The Jets are just putrid, and Jets. JETS, just end the season.
And hey, look, and we hate to say this because we're Jets fans and we want our team to do well. But when it comes to things like this, I mean, you gotta take the Bills. So with that being said, those are our picks for Week 7 in the National Football League.
Yes. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in.
Yeah.
And we will see you on Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. As always, we have another two great shows lined up for you.
Yeah, good shows next week.
Yes, great shows. And enjoy Week 7, the remainder of this Giants-Eagles game.
World Series, Game 3.
Yeah, World Series, tied one game to one right now. Yep. So, it's a close one. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle, the whole series. But I think the Dodgers take it in six at the most.
I say Dodgers in five. That Mookie Betts is.
You think they're taking the next three?
Yeah.
They should.
They have more talent.
I give the Rays one more somewhere there.
I don't know. I just think that the Dodgers are the better team. And
No, absolutely.
And they should. This should not go more than five. So,
okay.
But, we'll see.
We'll see. All right.
So enjoy the World Series, folks. Enjoy Week 7, and we'll talk to you.
It could be over by the time we get back on Tuesday.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy week 7, everybody. We'll see you next week.
All right, go. Peace.
Have a good one.